Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
What is up, everybody? Thank you all for joining me in the latest Mordcast, part of the CSG Network. This is going to be a little special. I'm going to be talking about baseball in this one. This is my once every 6-7 months episode about baseball. If you are not wanting to hear this, go ahead and check out. This is a bonus episode this month. I never intended on podcasting about this, or even again until the month of April turned over, but this is a little bonus episode for those of you who care about this sort of thing. And once again, I'm going to be talking about Dick Monfort and the Colorado Rockies and the sad state of the Colorado Rockies. And this really, I mean, obviously it's a 162-game season and they just played one game, but the Rockies lost 16-1 against the Arizona Diamondbacks in the opening night. And it kind of crystallized a lot of different problems that we have seen with the reign of Dick and Charlie Monfort since 2003, all the way to now, which is 2024. There are 21 years of being the controlling owners of the Rockies. And there's a lot of different things that are emblematic of what we are seeing with them, which is the Peter Principle, which is you rise to the level of your own incompetence. And obviously, everything is the Peter Principle when you think about it. Every organization, every team, all of them. It's some variation of the Peter Principle. But the Rockies are the negative example because Dick Monfort runs everything and he is not smart enough to know he is incompetent. And this is really where the crux of everything lies with the Colorado Rockies. It's not the fact that he is cheap. It is not the fact that he lags behind everything in baseball. It's not the fact that he hires internally constantly and is too loyal. It is Dick Monfort truly is unaware that he is incompetent, particularly for owning a baseball team. And this lack of awareness is what keeps the Rockies in this state of perpetual terribleness. And people will always point to their occasional breakthroughs, which was 2017 and 18, and 2007 and 2009 in the Monfort era. In many ways, 2007 is a great example of the Rockies fluking their way into a World Series and it being the confirmation bias that fueled Dick Monfort for the rest of the his time owning the Denver Nuggets, particularly since his brother Charlie is no longer involved with operations of the Rockies, even though Charlie still is probably the majority stakeholder in the ownership of the Rockies. As I've discussed on this podcast before, Dick and Charlie Monfort never intended on owning any, having any part of any baseball team. It really was Jerry McMorris, the original principal owner of the Colorado Rockies, that kind of went to them after the Rockies' initial ownership was in danger of tanking baseball in Colorado forever. Mickey Moniz and John Antonucci were going to be sent down for RICO charges. And they needed to think fast, and obviously the bunch of people contributed, the Rocky Mountain News, one of them, and RAP, Rocky Mountain News. And, of course, the Monforts. He went up to Greeley, and this is after the old man Monfort gave up ownership of his company to his sons. And so Dick and Charlie, primarily Charlie, invested in the Colorado Rockies as basically silent partners because they had no intention of running a baseball team. Fast forward 10 years, Jerry McMorris has issues with his trucking company and has to begin selling off parts of the Rockies. By this time, Dick and Charlie had seen the cash cow that was the Colorado Rockies, emphasis on was, and bought up the shares of Jerry McMorris, and by 2005 he had been bought completely out of the Rockies ownership group. So let's kind of go to starting at ground zero, which is 2003, when Dick and Charlie took over. There have been more lows than highs. There was one incredible high in 2007, as we've discussed that how fluky that was, and then two years later, the 2009 run happened, and then there was this deep lull for 7 years, and then they came up again for 2017 and 18, largely behind the back of Nolan Arenado, and then a big deep again. And obviously, there's a lot of small market hamstrings that are in Major League Baseball that maybe aren't necessarily in other sports because there's no salary cap, which is something the Monforts, particularly Dick, constantly complains about, and how they need to level the playing field, blah, blah, blah. That's not a guarantee that the Monforts would spend up to that. The baseball owners, I mean, baseball is riddled with awful owners. And it's due to the sport, due to the fact that the sport's been dying for about 20 years, and it's just been on a decline, and really accelerated the last 10 years, and it wasn't helped by the pandemic. So Dick and Charlie basically took over, and primarily Charlie. Now, this is where this is, people forget a lot of things. People forget that Jerry McMorris was the decision maker for the first 10 years of the club, and they also forget that Charlie was the primary mover and shaker once the Monforts took over. Dick was very much in the background. And really what accelerated the Dick's appearances to the forefront of Rocky's decision-making was his brother Charlie's problems with alcohol, which led to a couple of very embarrassing public moments. And so essentially because of this, and I forget when exactly it was, but by the time, there was a certain date, I think it was about 10 years ago, maybe a little less than that. Charlie had to be moved away from the public part of Rocky's operations and moved to the background because he was basically an embarrassment. But Charlie was the one who was the enthusiastic baseball guy. He wasn't Dick. A confluence of events happened, particularly right around about 2010, where Kelly McGregor passes away. And Kelly McGregor was he was not a baseball guy. I think he was a football guy, but he really was the business operations person, and he was the buffer between Dick and Charlie and the baseball part of the operations. Really, this began under Jerry McMorris, and then it continued through the next 10 years with Kelly McGregor being part of this, basically this buffer zone. And once Kelly McGregor died, Dick Monfort installed himself as team president, and you have seen exactly what has happened since. And it seems like it's unfair to lay the blame for whatever is happening with Rockies at the feet of one person. But I can tell you in a great sense that because Dick Monfort very specifically isn't aware that he is incompetent, a lot of the decisions that have been made in and around the Colorado Rockies, which have been perplexing to almost anyone involved, who was a fan or has watched the situation, largely stems from the fact that Dick Monfort doesn't know what he doesn't know. And he is very much someone who is hands-on, who shouldn't be hands-on. And here's a kind of a basic philosophy that you need to kind of look at, even if your ownership is cheap, which I don't necessarily, you can call Dick Monfort a cheap owner. I don't think he is extravagant like some owners are in baseball, but he is not cheap, quote unquote. But Dick Monfort is not smart when it comes to baseball stuff. And this is where the Peter Principle comes in. Because of this weird nebulous situation where he'll spend on people like Chris Bryant, who's over the hill, but it's a large contract for him, but immediately has buyer's remorse after he signs Nolan Arenado to a huge contract in 2021, the summer of that year, right before the, I think it was right before the season they signed Nolan Arenado. It was like in spring training, 2021. And immediately had buyer's remorse. I mean, it was well reported at the time. He immediately had buyer's remorse. Fast forward a year, and they signed Chris Bryant to this ridiculous contract, 7 years and whatever million. And there was no such buyer's remorse. It was very strange how they operated with Nolan Arenado. And a lot of that had to do with personal animus between Jeff Breidich and Nolan Arenado, and how Dick Monfort wasn't savvy or smart enough to understand what was going on between his general manager and his superstar player. And make no mistake, Nolan Arenado was and still is a superstar. One of the best baseball players, if not the best baseball player to ever come through Colorado. And when they signed him, it was this moment, this eureka moment, like the Rockies are finally just taking care of what they need to take care of. It was not to happen because of personal problems between Breidich and Nolan Arenado, plus the fact that literally immediately, Dick Monfort regretted signing Nolan Arenado to that contract. And you look at how these things have operated, and you're like, why would you do this? If you didn't want to sign Nolan Arenado to this deal, why didn't you make it known that this is something you are not willing to do? And this is where we come to a very important fact. Is that Dick Monfort's incompetence stretches to his lack of ability to understand that he's incompetent when it comes to baseball. Now, there's another side of this, and I'll get to this in the second half, where there's a bunch of development that has gone on around Coors Field that the Monfort organization, and I'm not talking about the Rockies, but the Monfort organization, which has morphed into a real estate development company, that part of it is different. And there was a lot of issues with McGregor Square, that there were massive cost overruns and all of this, that coincidentally the Rockies suddenly started cutting payroll, specifically with a Nolan Arenado, right around the times they were having some issues building McGregor Square. But we'll get to that in a second. On the baseball side, though, it's been established that the Monfort era of the Rockies, while it has had some brief moments, I mean, look, under Jerry McMorris, the Rockies only reached the playoffs once. And really, by 1999, it had become clear that the Rockies making bank on attendance was not going to be able to be sustainable. People had kind of figured out by 1998, 99 that the Rockies are going to really struggle to play. There's some handicaps with playing in Colorado that we all know about. The altitude in relation to pitching is just one of those things. And the refusal to have a domed stadium in a controlled atmosphere has basically contributed to that So we get what we get for having one of the most beautiful stadiums in Major League Baseball. So there has been elements and steps that have gone on since 2003. Charlie Munford's issues, public issues. Todd Helton very clearly is not a big fan of the Munfords. Doesn't talk about them. He, whenever he talks about ownership, he brings up Jerry McMorris. That should tell you something also. Todd Helton's about to go into Hall of Fame, and I'm going to be very fascinated to see who he thanks going into that. There has been the Nolan Arenado situation, which I went over. But more than that, there has been this kind of refusal to understand that you don't know what you don't know. And Dick Monfort has been trying to prove himself for far too long. He wants to be a baseball guy. He was never a baseball game, but he wants to be a baseball guy. The smartest thing he could do as a baseball guy is to let the baseball people do what the baseball people do and stop trusting the insular Monforditis with being loyal. I mean, he gives these series of weirdly myopic interviews where he comes close to acknowledging that they haven't done things right, but then he pats himself on the back saying that they've made all these strides, and it's like, it's just kind of, he cancels himself out. Dick Monfort is his own worst enemy, much like his brother Charlie was. They don't understand that they don't understand. And this is one of the biggest problems. In the second half of the podcast, I'm going to talk about the business stuff and the development around Coors Field, which kind of gives you an idea of how there's a disconnect between the way the Monforts view themselves and what the reality of the situation is. But first, I want to talk to you about Blanchard Family Wines, located between 18th and 19th and Blake and Wazee in beautiful lower downtown Denver, Colorado, just a couple blocks away from Coors Field, right in the middle of the dairy block. They're always online at bfwcolorado.com. They're on Facebook and Instagram under Blanchard Family Wines. Of course, Rockies, as I'm talking about on this podcast, Rocky season's starting right now. If you're one of the brave few that's going to be going down to Coors Field this year, stop by Blanchard Family Wines. That's a great time. It's just a couple blocks down the road. And you can just stop there, get yourself a glass of wine, go to a game. Or if it's an afternoon game, stop there after a game. They got great reds, whites, Rieslings, you know, blends, partnerships with Western Slope Wineries. If you want to sample a taste of Colorado, they got a wine that they do in partnership with one of the Western Slope wineries. But they got their own wine, like the Pinot is really good. Try that. It's really, really, really good. It's one of my favorite things they do. It used to be the Cab, but now it's the Pinot. But the Cab's still great. And some of the other whites they have are really good. And just try all that they got there. They got a location in Fort Collins, so if you're up north, try them out. They got a location in Golden, and of course their original location in Sonoma County, California. Once again, they're located between 18th and 19th and Blake and Wazee in beautiful lower downtown Denver, Colorado. Just a couple blocks away from Coors Field, right in the middle of the dairy block. They're always online at bfwcolorado.com. They're on Facebook and Instagram under Blanchard Family Wines. When you go in or you talk to them, tell them Jeff Morton from CSG Podcast sent you.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is happening with El Chapultepec is maybe people have misunderstood this. And I think there's just an issue with maybe how you handle things and the way you should approach things. Dick Monfort's son is the one who runs the development company. And it's been decided for a long time that El Chapultepec or whatever the building was is no longer going to be there. And I said this on Twitter a couple days ago, it would be easier to take what's happening with that corner building where El Chapultepec was, it would be easier to take that if the Monfort stink wasn't all over it. And I think this is where we run into some of the outer baseball things, the things that have nothing to do with baseball, and how you can look at how they handle things and how they do things there, and how it reflects on what they do inside baseball. To be honest with you, I have sympathy for the Monforts as far as developing there. The building is 100 something years old. It's got deep structural issues. It's a very, very old building. It's more than just the jazz club has been gone for 3 years. El Chapultepec was a great jazz location, very historical jazz location, but it's been gone. And there's really no saving El Chapultepec, whatever that was. There's no saving it. And I think that fact has been basically there since it closed its doors. Now, on the other side of that is the Monforts bought it in 2022, and there was this notion that it could be saved. At the very least, the building. But when you have a building that old, you just can't, it's going to be hard to save it. The costs of refurbishing would probably exceed building a new building because of all the things you need to do. And plus there's issues with that area and all the mill tailings that have been around there, and the railroad yards, and you know, the testing that you need to do to refurbish all this stuff down there. It's just part of the deal of that part of downtown Denver. El Chapultepec is gone. But the issue has been with how the Monforts handle things and how they present things. And there is zero trust that what the Monforts are doing will be beneficial for the greater public. There's just no... There's, even though they put in McGregor Square, which is this... I mean, there's okay restaurants there. It's a good place for people to stop. McGregor Square has a lot of apartment buildings, condos inside, and it's not exactly what you would call a affordable place because due to its location, but it is certainly a place that the Monforts are very proud of. It's very specifically Dick Monfort, which, once again, it took several years for McGregor Square to be built, and cost overruns happen, and they say our issues here don't affect our issues there. But when you see that the Monforts have their hands in everything around the stadium district, it makes people worry about what is happening with certain parts of that part, because it is really what I heard someone recently call Lodo Brodo. And there's a little bit of that going on. And obviously there's been safety concerns with downtown going back for a decade. It's just due to the amount of people who mill around down there and all that stuff. But the way the Monforts handle things has always been their worst enemy, because they don't know what they don't know. And this applies to every aspect of their businesses and including the baseball team. So you come back to the Colorado Rockies. They have only played one game of 162 game season. They could actually come back and have a nice, respectable season. No one's predicting it. Everyone is predicting they'll at the most win 60-something games this year. But they could. The Rockies could very well come back from this embarrassment of an opening night and have a respectable season. But that's not the point. And this is what people need to understand. If you are an avid watcher of the Rockies, if you are someone who is addicted to baseball and is a Rockies fan to the core, we bleed purple, you understand at the very least that regardless of what season they have, the issue is established. It's baked in. It's not going to go away. And there's very little we as the public can do. Even not showing up, the Monforts have demonstrated, and this is part of the parcel to the business there, whether you show up as a Rockies fan or if an opposing team's fan shows up to the stadium, due to the fact that they have developed a significant amount of the properties around Coors Field, they're going to make money regardless. And you're not going to hurt them by not showing up. And this is what drives the apathy. I'm apathetic. The Rock, 2 decades ago, the Rockies drilled my enthusiasm out of me. I really have not been an enthusiastic Rockies fan since the 90s. Obviously, I was on board for the World Series thing and the two playoff runs, but those things were brief blips in a sea of shit that has been the Colorado Rockies. And one of these things is, I feel bad for the people who are invested in the team. Because you are dealing with not a sinking ship, but a sunk ship that is kind of listlessly riding the waves and being knocked around. This is a ship that is, maybe I shouldn't say, I said that's a bad metaphor. A sunk ship would be a sunk ship, but this is a ship that has taken on water and is just dead. There's no one on board. It is just drifting through the sea. It's a ghost ship. The ghost ship that is the Colorado Rockies. And it's sad to see, because if there's very few people who are around, I wouldn't say very few, but there aren't as many people as you would think that remember the glory days of the 1993 to about 1998. Because of the enthusiasm, 98 was when the All-Star game was in Denver. There was this peak of just absolute craziness around the Colorado Rockies, and the new car smell wore off, and the reality of playing baseball in Colorado hit in. But more than that, the structural issues that surrounded the Rockies once Bob Gephardt left and Dan O'Dowd came in 1999. Then they were trying some new things. They signed Hampton and Nagel. Renewed interest happened. The 2000 season was actually not that bad. I think the Rockies won 84 games that year. But it wasn't sustainable, and it just became a weird listless ship, to use this metaphor again. It is a ship with no one on it that is just bobbing with the waves. There's no purpose. There's no agenda. There's no direction. There's no map guiding it. It is just bobbing around with the weather system. And that has been the Colorado Rockies for 20 years. It really has been. And look, you can acknowledge the issues with playing baseball in Colorado. The altitude is almost a fundamentally crippling thing for this team. And if they were going to do something drastic, plop a dome onto the top of Coors Field and turn it into something like what's going on in Arizona, where they installed a humidor and they have a dome, and they really decreased the amount of runs. You have to make the ballpark smaller. The outfield is huge. You could try that. There's some drastic things you could do, but in reality, Dick Monfort doesn't know what he doesn't know. And as long as this thing is going to be part of Dick Monfort's family, you're going to have to deal with the fact that Dick Monfort thinks he is someone who knows baseball, is a guy who doesn't know baseball, and because of that, isn't willing to take a step back from him and stop interfering. And I think this is where we are going. The rubber has met the road for years, and this is where we need to accept things. Even if you get a new owner in here, it's still going to be the same thing, because new owners like to interfere. You see what has gone on in Phoenix. You've seen what has gone on in other places. And like with the Mets, this guy still hasn't, you know, Steve Cohen, still has not figured out that he needs to acknowledge that he doesn't know things. These are just things that happen when you own any sports team. And Dick Monfort, for the last 20 years, has been operating as someone who knows baseball, who doesn't. And you could pray for the day that he, maybe he finally realizes that he doesn't know anything. And maybe he should let people who know things run the team. Until that moment happens, the Rockies are going to be where they are. A listless, bobbing ship on the waves. No direction. Going where the wind takes you. It's pretty sad. All right, thank you all for joining me on this little special Mortcast. I'm going to be back, probably 1st of April with another podcast. Goodbye.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.